We turn to, let's see, we've had this lady on a few times here. Hi, Michelle Weiss. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Executive Director, Salina, Saline County Emergency Management. Yeah, right?
Yes.
And she's even brought friends.
I did. Yes. We do have a new deputy director in our office. I will let Alyssa introduce herself.
Hello.
Hi, I'm Alyssa Sanchez. I am the new deputy director. I actually am from California originally, and I just recently graduated from Central Christian College of Kansas.
From California. How did you wind up in the middle of all this stuff outside right now?
Huh? I actually got a wrestling scholarship to come out here.
Okay. So, then are you headed to Tony's Pizza Event Center after this to watch your wrestling?
I actually didn't know that was going on, but I think I might actually check it out today.
Mm-hmm. That's at Tony's place down there, and you talk about busy. Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. 6:30 this morning, wrestling at 6:30. Ever wrestled at 6:30?
Yeah, a lot of our, tournaments, they don't usually start at 6:30, but they start at 7. Mm-hmm. But we usually would get there at, 4:30 in the morning just to do the weight checks, the skin checks. Like, it's all day process. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, a young lady from California, a wrestler, right, and assistant emergency management. How did you get into this?
Well, I actually, my degree is in criminal justice, and I kind of came in with the mindset of going to college to be a detective. Like, that was kind of my goal, but I actually got hired as a 911 dispatcher for McPherson County, and doing those, FEMA training classes and all those courses kind of made me realize that I wanted to be a part of those emergency managers and how much of an important impact they have when it comes to natural and man-made disasters. And so that was something that really inspired me to step into the field of emergency management.
Let's see. California wrestler comes here to be a detective, and now you're emergency manager. Interesting lady.
Yeah.
Well, so, Michelle, tell us about Sam calls it the fire on the plains, but whatever, the storm fury on the plains for people who have no idea. What is that all about?
So we partner with the National Weather Service every year to do a free introduction weather training for the community. We go over everything from past statistics on weather that we had, a possible weather that we should anticipate receiving. Typically, one of those neat things, it was in 2020, we didn't have a single reported tornado. If you look back historically, those years that we don't have any tornadoes, the following anywhere from 3 to 5 years have a spike in the amount of tornadic activity. So there's some fun facts like that. But we also provide basic understanding of storm patterns. So if you were not very comfortable or familiar, or if thunderstorms scare you, we basically go over how you can read the clouds and be better prepared and realize what direction that the storm is moving. Typically, most storms that go through Kansas move from southwest and move to the northeast. Mm-hmm. This allows us to be able to see what happens weather-wise in previous counties before the storm gets to us. National Weather Service goes over typical things to anticipate with thunderstorms, such as lightning, hail, flash flooding, things like that. But also, one of my favorite parts that comes out of this training is one of the things I don't think a lot of people realize is Salina is right on the cusp of 3 different weather offices, Wichita, Hastings, and Topeka. Mm-hmm. So the radar that reads Salina is actually located down in Wichita. So the scope of the radar that covers Salina is actually looking thousands of feet in the air. And most of us realize that funnel clouds and then tornadoes happen on the ground. Yeah, those don't show up on radar. So I am heavily reliant on getting feedback from citizens. So knowing the difference between a funnel cloud, which is a little wispy thing that comes out of the clouds, versus a tornado, which is actually confirmed on the ground, those aren't things that pop up on the radar. So I need deputies and citizens that are well-trained to provide me that feedback so then I can relay that to the National Weather Service and we can get those tornado warnings issued and out in a timely manner.
And so you're part of also having the storm chaser classes then?
Correct. So Storm Fury on the Plains is our basic intro to weather. If you find a niche for it and you find it fascinating, we do also, the National Weather Service partners with another EM office out of Russell, and they do advance a Storm Fury on the Plains, and that goes a lot more in depth. So if you find it fascinating and you want to be a storm spotter and you want to be one of those key volunteers and individuals in our community for us, I highly recommend that you attend that advanced storm Fury class.
Well, even, you know, those of us who have been around here a while, I've been here since 84. I was born in Indiana, and they have a few of these tornadoes, too. So I've lived with tornadoes and storm warnings on the plains, things most of my life. And I say this to people who are new to the area. They moved to, you know, Salina for a job or whatever, and that's fine. But you need to kind of get an idea of what's going on when the sirens go off, and this is where you can learn a lot about that, right?
Correct. Not only do we, I mean, well, I will say, those of you that lived in Kansas, you should know what the siren is for, but you never do what you're supposed to do.
No.
So I will say, those of us that come from somewhere
I do what
else,
I'm supposed to do. No. I get under the bed, you know, whatever.
We understand that it's meant to go to the basement.
Yes.
You guys seem, it's like, oh, it's time to go get a beer and a lawn chair.
Yeah.
So I would, this is another opportunity for us in the National Weather Service to tell you that is not what we want you to do for that. But if you do have an opportunity, and you're seeing weather patterns such as hail size or if limbs are down, those are really important for us. So if you take pictures and submit that to either myself or the National Weather Service, that can actually help us change and upgrade our warnings so it's better to fit the actual incident and the actual storm that's taking place.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have, let's say, newer sirens in a lot of our area here.
Correct.
They've been tested and checked out, and some of the old ones were old. But these are the state-of-the-art stuff that we have now.
Right.
Yes, and we actually just in the last month did a, fingers crossed and knock on wood, the last update. These are new of the new. We did upgrade the radios that are inside the sirens, so they are a lot more reliable than they were previously. They were kind of daisy-chained before, and now one siren, whether it fails or not, it would still not impact those farther down the queue. They each individually talk to the command station. Mm-hmm. So,
but we still test them
once a month.
First Tuesday.
First Monday.
First Monday.
Unless there's a holiday.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Or, air quotes, scary-looking clouds.
Yeah, but normally it's the first.
Right. First Monday of the month at 4 p.m.
We can sit here and talk all day about what you need to do to get prepared if you're new to the area, but it's one of the simplest and cheapest ways, get a weather radio.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And if you buy a weather radio and you don't know what to do with it, you're more than welcome to bring it down to our office, and we will program it to you. If you want, you could bring it on February 6th to Storm Fury on the Plains. We're doing that at Kansas Wesleyan. It'll be in the Peter Science Building in room 201, and you'll get to meet a meteorologist, and then we'll program your weather radio there for you.
Meeting a meteorologist at Storm Fury on the Plains can be quite an experience.
Some of the stories that they have are crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, okay. Alicia, let me ask you this. All this that Michelle is telling us about, have you had a chance to study a lot of this and get with it, you know?
Well, actually, that's what I've kind of been doing for the last few days. Mm-hmm. One of our National Weather Service, like, people that we partner with, I'm supposed to shadow her on Wednesday, mm-hmm. so I'll be going down to Wichita, and she also sent me a lot of handouts and PowerPoints to get myself familiar with a lot of the weather disasters that we face, because obviously that's very different than California.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. It just gets too hot out there, and that's
yeah.
But
like,
you have some problems out there too now and then, right?
Yeah, so basically, like, when I was in school over there, a lot of the drills that we had were earthquake and active shooter. And coming here, I had never heard of a tornado drill or sirens or anything like that.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, we don't have too many earthquakes.
No.
You know, of course
not,
we...
Not major ones.
Well, we'll have movers and shakers sometimes, right? Yeah. And Michelle's knock on... It's not wood, by the way. It's vinyl. Knock on wood. We don't have the earthquakes. Ones that we've had are just... We don't even realize we're having them, I guess, but out in California, a little different ballgame,
you
know, right?
If you feel the earth moves, means I probably fell out of bed. So.
Okay, so what will go on during Storm Fury, aside from, you know, you're learning a lot, but some specifics maybe here?
So we'll give you, not only will we talk about how you can communicate with the National Weather Service, our public information officer, Melissa McCoy, who does a fantastic job of communicating during an emergency and incident. She will actually tell you how you can communicate to us. One of the biggest things that we are looking to want to improve in 2024 is how we report and receive damage assessments for storms. Mm-hmm. FEMA has changed some of their guidance on public assistance and individual assistance in declared disasters. So much like anyone else, I would like to get every penny I can from the federal government if they're willing to give it. So we're going to talk a little bit on how the community can help us get some of that money back and some of the information that they can provide us during an incident.
Mm-hmm. Well, as the boss, so to speak, during these storms, you mentioned this, pay attention, get yourself a weather radio. Don't go outside to look around. Is this the kind of, you know, to us, people that live here, this is kind of, yeah, you know, at 101. Yeah. But the folks who move here from California, so to speak, really need to pay attention. Right?
So if you're new or if you've got a new neighbor or you just moved here, I would encourage you to check out our website, SalineCountyKS.gov. Under emergency management, we have a lot of educational information there, a lot of training information, as well as if you would like to come down and set off the sirens or you want to know a little bit more about the outdoor warning sirens. Absolutely. Starting last year, we actually started pushing out more, getting a community entity or individual just to come by on Mondays when we are doing the siren test, and we'll talk a little bit more about the system, answer any emergency preparedness questions that you have. Of course, one of those being, do you have a kit? If not, we'll give you some starting tools to get you on your path.
What's in the kit?
It just depends. So okay. We did.
Sorry, I ask.
Well, we've gotten quite a few grants, so typically we've piecemealed the basics, but I would love for you to take it a step farther and personalize your kit. Mm-hmm. So there's first aid kits in there. There's a weather radio. There's a phone battery charger. Hot hands is, I think, in our winter ones with some work gloves. And baby wipes, I think, is the last one.
Well, last time you were here, didn't you? You brought us kits.
Correct.
Yes,
we're
still,
so we've still got a couple of those. Yeah. We've been giving those away to people that need them. I know I gave a couple away during the last blackout that we had due to the snowstorm that we had. Mm-hmm. We had some individuals that were part of home health that needed some extra assistance, and we went ahead and provided that to them.
Were you busy during the storms, so to speak, here over the past few weeks?
Yes, yes. I joked with the sheriff's office that job security, we do a good job of trying to inform the public. Melissa does a good job of putting out, you know, stay home. For the last 72 hours, we've been telling you that the roads are going to be slick, but somebody always thinks that it's an emergency for them to go drive around on a rural road and get stuck.
Well, how many during this last break of wonderful weather we've had, how many panicked folks have called into emergency management?
Not me directly, but we do get those typical phone calls into dispatch asking for resources or what they're supposed to do if X, Y, and Z happen. I will say that one of the biggest things that I will always push in winter is make sure that you've got a carbon monoxide detector in your house and make sure it's close to the floor. It does you no good if it's above where you stand.
People putting it up on the ceiling.
Correct. You you are already going to have carbon monoxide poisoning by the time that goes off. They have them where you put it in the outlet. You have them where they're just battery powered. I implore everyone to have one of those, especially if you might be using some of those unconventional ways of heating your house, or if you're just using space heaters. I highly encourage you to do that.
You just mentioned something that I've always found interesting. If people are told to get a detector, and we talk about a smoke detector in case of fire, that goes up on the ceiling.
Correct.
But there are a lot of those units on the market that are combination smoke detector, carbon monoxide. That doesn't go on the ceiling. It'll detect the smoke.
Correct.
But it may not detect the carbon monoxide. So do you need two detectors?
You can. I will say I'm old school. I have one of each, just because I didn't want to sit here and decide whether I wanted to know that I was burning the bacon in my kitchen or if I wanted to know that I had carbon monoxide in my house.
Don't burn the bacon.
No. No.
But I just wonder if that's confusing to people.
That one floor does it need to be?
Just the typical height of an outlet. You just need to be able to have the forewarning that you would get from it. If it was above you, you wouldn't have that forewarning.
The reason I mentioned this, it makes...
I've actually learned this morning.
Oh, well, that's good.
Because, yeah. I've seen it. I've always been in places that they're all up on the roof or up on the ceiling.
No, carbon monoxide detectors need to be close to the floor.
Okay, when you buy one, keep that in mind.
Yes. Yeah. And right. If you've got any questions, the fire department has a really great fire prevention program, and they would... Mm-hmm. This is their niche.
Mm-hmm. Well... Okay, this is on the 6th of February, and it's at where?
Kansas Wesleyan. It'll be in Peter Science Hall in room 201.
And if you're new to the area, or even if you're old to the area, things change. Just like you say, you're updating stuff all the time, right?
Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, you've got the Adopt a Siren program.
Correct. Yes. So we partnered with a couple community agencies that have picked just one siren, whether it's close to their home or business. And every time we test off the siren, they provide us a report and give us feedback on making sure that the lights on the top of the siren went off and that it activated properly. It also brings the preparedness efforts a little bit closer to home, letting people know that you are actually responsible for your own preparedness. Just because, I'll be honest, when I set off the sirens in the basement, I can't hear anything. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I really rely on your feedback.
The sirens, as we say, were not designed to be heard in the house.
Yeah. Correct.
It's great if you hear them, but yes. That's why you need a weather radio. And, of course, weather radio is the way to go. But, of course, nowadays there's no reason that you cannot know something's going on. Correct. Weather radios, radio, TV, these things, cell phones, there's all, used to be the only way you could find out was turn on a radio. Mm-hmm. Not anymore, right?
And you can even sign up if you want to know more about the trainings that our office is putting out, or if you want to know more about the weather events and getting the packets that we push out for prior to severe weather events. If you join our alert system through the county website, SalineCountyKS.gov, you can actually join those mailing lists and you will get those emails and those notifications through there as well.
Okay. Lisa, are you learning all this stuff?
Yeah, honestly, it's been a great learning experience hearing everything. Thankfully, like I said, our partner with the National Weather Service, she has sent me a lot of very informational PowerPoints and handouts, because that is part of what I'm going to be doing, is educating the public, educating students, doing a lot of outreach. And so it is definitely really important for me to get a grasp on the weather.
Well, good luck in absorbing all this. You got a good teacher here.
Yes, I really do.
Yeah, with Melissa, and we'll have you in here now and then and talking about all this. But right now, it's the Storm Fury on the Plains. It is February 6th at Wesleyan, right? Mm-hmm. What are the times for the...
6:30 p.m. and doors open at 6.
All right. Well, ladies, thank you for coming. We hope we always say this, hope we don't see you too often, because there's always something going on whenever you guys are here. So anyway, thank you, ma'am.
Thank you for having me.
Up, reach out. Let us know.
Yep. She's shaking her head. They can't hear you shaking your head. So, thank you.